I've heard it said, everything happens for a reason. The stories go like this. I married young and went through a horrible divorce, but it taught me a lot, and I grew and ended up meeting my soulmate. Now I'm remarried, and our relationship is wonderful and healthy. When I was going through the divorce, it seemed like the world would end, but now I'm glad it happened. Everything happens for a reason. Or, I had breast cancer in my 30s. I went through surgery, radiation, and chemo, and I have been cancer-free for 15 years. My experience inspired me to start a local support group for breast cancer survivors, and now I am a regional manager for Breast Cancer Survival Network, and my life has never been so rewarding. You see, everything happens for a reason. Or, I just lost a baby. I am crushed. My heart aches. My minister came to visit in the hospital, and he told me, God has a plan. Everything happens for a reason. But does it? See, I'm not buying it. Sometimes bad things happen for no good reason whatsoever. Sometimes random yuckiness just happens. There is not always a plan. Sometimes there is just pain. I have been working around people in pain, people in crisis, people who are getting bad news my entire adult life. In the first part of my life, I was a social worker. I worked at Children's Hospital with the families of children with heart defects. In cardiology, on average, we had a child die once every 3 weeks. I later changed over to Mary Birch Hospital for Women, where I worked with women whose babies were critically ill in the NICU, women whose babies had died, women who were ending a wanted pregnancy because of significant birth defects. One of the roles of the social workers was to provide psychological support to families whose babies had died, either before or after birth. And I held more dead babies than I ever care to remember. I then went back to school to become a genetic counselor, and for almost 10 years I worked with pregnant couples. Fortunately, most of those couples were having healthy babies, but not all. Sometimes the ultrasound uncovered life-threatening defects. Sometimes the amniocentesis found a chromosome abnormality that would cause severe developmental disability or early death. In the last 9 years, I have worked in pediatric genetics, where I counsel families of children with disorders so rare that most doctors have never heard of them, and kids with cancer. I see a lot of kids with cancer. Some recover, and some do not. So I look at these young families, at these babies, these children, and I hear their stories of their suffering, their pain, and their devastation. And for the life of me, I cannot fathom a silver lining. I cannot imagine that these things are happening for a reason. So why is it that this idea of everything happens for a reason is so pervasive? I think that there are two main drivers behind why so many people say this. The first is a religious notion that God wouldn't just be that cruel. He must have a plan. Sometimes people express this as God doesn't give you more than you can handle. The notion is that God is good and all-knowing and all-powerful. So if something bad has happened, he must have a reason. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote about this at length in his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. You see, Kushner had a son, Aaron, who had a rare genetic disorder called progeria that caused him to age at an unusually rapid pace. He died of old age when he was 14 years old. And Rabbi Kushner, as his name applies, was a Jewish rabbi, a good man, a man of God. So for him, this question of why bad things happen to good people was not just a theological question, it was a personal question. To the question of why we tell people that what seems like a tragedy is actually happening for a greater reason, Rabbi Kushner writes, "The problem with this line of reasoning like this is that this isn't really meant to help the sufferer or to explain his suffering. It is meant primarily to defend God, to use words and ideas to transform bad and good into pain and privilege. Rabbi Kushner, in the end, posits that God does not control everything that happens to each of us. God allows the world to happen, and random things happen. And random means that there is no rhyme or reason to it. Bad things sometimes happen to good people, and bad things sometimes happen to bad people. It does not matter because there is no connection. Rabbi Kushner is not the first or only one to sever the connection between what happens and the people it happens to. In the Bible, book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 45, they say, "For he who makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." And Neil deGrasse Tyson says, "The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you." And the story that Allison just told, which you may have heard when Reverend Megan also told it right after our election, is either an old Chinese or Sufi parable, depending on which version you read. But things happen. Maybe lucky, maybe unlucky. They just happen. This concept of randomness, of things just happening, is one that I have always embraced. I've always had trouble with the concept of God as cosmic scorekeeper, keeping track of all of our good deeds, all of our missteps, and all the times when we are just mean, and then doling out consequences like the world is a giant karmic vending machine. Ah, look at that. Diane just kicked a puppy. I think I'll give her a terrible disease. Ah, look, but now she built a house in Mexico. I think I'll cure her of that disease. As Unitarian Universalists, our theological beliefs are spread far and wide, and our belief in the role of God or not God in life is varied. So let's look at the second reason. The second driver behind the everything happens for a reason saying is the need to believe that something good will come from your pain. It's the silver lining on the rain cloud. It tries to remove the sting by reminding the sufferer that this pain will bring them to a better place, like the pain at the gym that will lead you to a healthier and slimmer self. And I will admit it, sometimes that happens. Sometimes something really bad happens. That person involved survives, grows in new ways, and discovers something wonderful that they would not have known were it not for the pain. And I'm sure all of you can think of examples of that. The accident survivor who makes new and wonderful friendships in the process of recovery. The parent of a child with an incurable disease that creates a charity that raises funds to find a cure. Yes, sometimes bad things happen and they eventually lead to good things. And that, when it happens, is lovely. It is serendipity and it absolutely deserves to be celebrated. But it doesn't always happen. I think about Sam. Sam and my daughter Madeline were born in the same year. Sam was an energetic, red-haired, freckled boy who loved to play soccer. When he was 5 years old, he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, a particularly bad childhood cancer. His family and doctors did everything, surgery, chemo, radiation, and he went into remission. And then it came back with a vengeance. He had a bone marrow transplant. He got hearing aids because the chemo destroyed his hearing. He spent more time in the hospital than out of it. And at 8 years of age, he died. His parents are phenomenal people. They were active in the neuroblastoma community and remain so. They raised money for research. They raised their two surviving boys to love life and remember Sam. But those are all small consolations. Given the choice, they'd rather give up all the ways in which their lives have grown because of his death and just have Sam back. And I think about a couple that I work with at the Children's Hospital in Tijuana. They first came to see us about 4 years ago. Their only son, a four-year-old boy, was neurologically devastated. He couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he couldn't sit up, he couldn't eat without choking. He was seizing multiple times per day. We reviewed all the records, tried doing some additional testing, and in the end, we were not able to come up with a specific diagnosis. We told the couple it might be genetic, that the risk could be as high as 25% if they had another child to also be affected. Last year, they came back with their first son, now 8, and a 1-year-old son. One glance at the baby told us that he had the same condition as his older brother. The parents cried as they told us that they had planned not to have more children, but got pregnant by accident. They prayed that this baby would be healthy, but within a few days, it was clear that he had the same disease. Illumina offered to do whole genome sequencing on the boys, and they discovered a mutation in a novel gene, one not previously known to be associated with disease. Since then, further studies have confirmed the genetic diagnosis. There is only one other family in the world who is also being studied with the same disease. We are in the process of writing an article about them and their disorder for a medical journal, and they will advance our scientific understanding of genes in the glycosyl phosphatidylinositol inositol pathway. But their parents continue to work day and night to care for their children, who will likely die at an early age with the developmental capacity of a newborn. The parents' daily grief is unfathomable. So tell me, for what reason did this happen? Sometimes while counseling a family, they will ask, why did this happen? It's 4 words. It sounds like a simple question, but it is a really big question, maybe the biggest question. And I know that there are 2 possible questions that really underlie that one little question. And really, I counsel a wide cross-section of society, so both of these questions is possible. So I have to ask, are you asking about the molecular, cellular, or genetic etiology or root of this disorder? Because that I can answer. Or are you asking, why us? Why me? Why my child? Why did God do this to me? Why did God let this happen? That is a much more difficult question to answer. So then we have a conversation about what they believe. How do they make sense of the world? Why do they think this happened? Sometimes I'll tell them what I believe, and it sounds something like this. I don't know why this happened. I don't believe that it's anything that you did or anything that you failed to do. These things just happen, and I don't know why. I have been around long enough to know that cancer or mutations or insert your tragedy here isn't fair, it isn't logical. It just is. In oncology circles, I have sometimes heard doctors tell their patients struggling to know, why me? It's not personal, it's biology. I've heard it said labels are fine when we give them to ourselves, but not when they are given to us by someone else. And I think it applies here as well. If I have a challenge or a great tragedy and I find that something good comes of it, and I say everything happens for a reason, that's my story about my experience. This bad thing happened because it led to something good. That's my truth, and that's okay, because it is my story and my truth, and I get to make sense of my world in the way that comforts me. Maybe the problem with everything happens for a reason is that everything word. It's so all-encompassing. How about instead of everything, we just owned our thing? What if we got specific? We could say, my illness helped me grow relationships. Or the loss of my job led to the exploration of a new and better career path. But when the tragedy is someone else's, when the wound is fresh and weeping and painful, I don't get to decide the meaning of it for that other person. I don't even get to decide if there is meaning. It's not up to me or to anyone else. It's up to the person whose story it is. My job is to listen, to help them carry their pain if I can, and to be there with them in their sorrow. Emily McDowell is an artist and entrepreneur who was discouraged by the greeting card selection that was available to send or receive to people who are struggling, so she came up with her own line. The line of empathy cards, as they're called, when released, were so popular that there was a backlog of demand. This is one of them. And it reads, "Please let me be the first to punch the next person who tells you that everything happens for a reason. I'm sorry you're going through this." It is part of human nature to try to make meaning of what is happening around us. Joan Didion famously said, "We tell ourselves stories in order to live." So I invite you now to think a bit about your own lives, to think about the lives of those you know and those you love, to think about someone who may be going through a difficult time. And now imagine just sitting with that person. Don't deny the pain. Don't try to detour around it. Don't try to find the silver lining. Do be ready with a tissue. Do sit with them in their pain. Keep your heart, your mind, and your arms open to them. Listen or sit in silence. Maybe one day it will be okay. Or maybe it won't. We don't really know, do we?